the house of God today. It is a great day to be in the kingdom. We have Brother Tiff here today. Wow, we are so ready to receive the word of the Lord. Pastor Spencer is at our Ithaca campus preaching, so they're super blessed today. He'll be there for both services, and we will be here for you for these services. Stand to your feet. Let's get ready to just worship the Lord today. He is so awesome, and in his presence, man, this is where things get settled. This is where things get taken care of. This is where things shift and change. Whatever it is you have need of, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So whatever it is you have need of today, expect the supernatural power of God. You've put yourself in the place to expect and experience the supernatural power of God for your circumstances, for your situation. You're not limited to this natural realm. We have the power of Almighty God, access to anything and everything that we need. Everything that we need. So he is a good God, and he is here to meet you today. So let's just get in and worship him. Father, we love you. You are so awesome, so powerful, so amazing, so incredible. There's nothing even hard for you. There's nothing difficult, nothing impossible. God, right now we invite you. We invite you into our situations. We invite you into our minds, into our hearts. We invite you into our joy. We invite you into our peace. We invite you, God. We invite your power to invade earth today, to invade our space today, to invade our life today. We love you so much, Jesus. In your precious name, amen.
Good morning. We'd love to invite you to come up to the front. Come on up. Y'all can clap with us real quick. It's amazing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Come on and sing this set.
Broke these chains and took away my shame. Come on, if you're excited to be in the house, can you just give a shout to Jesus real quick? I got a couple announcements for you real fast. Number one, December 11th at 5:30, we're going to be doing a Christmas Giveathon. We want to bless people. We want to let the community know that Jesus loves them and that the church loves them. And I'm really excited about that. The next thing you need to know about, if you have a child, a teenager, will you wave your hand at me real quick? You got someone sub 18. Now, if you are over 18 and you take care of yourself, will you wave your hand at me real quick? Awesome. Look, Thursday nights are now family night. We canceled Tuesday. There's no Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday. There's no classes on Tuesday because we want to be together as a family in the house together. So Thursday nights at 6 and at 7, we have family night. And I'd love to see you there. We got something for your kids, your teenagers, and any adult right here in the building. And we've had cotton candy too, so I guess people like that a lot. But even more important than that, next Sunday, right after church, we're going to be doing something we've never done because we think that we should spend time with each other more. We're going to meet together right after church. We're going to have football on the big screens. We're going to play football out front. We're going to have pizzas. We're going to enjoy each other. The kids are going to pie pastor. And we want to be together. We should be a community. We should actually spend time with each other. Do I have any of my more mature saints? They remember after church wasn't go home and take a nap. It was after church, go and spend time with other Christians. Yeah, you remember that? Awesome. We're going to get back to that next Sunday. But I want to worship. Will you lift your hands in this place? And let's touch heaven today. Let's not waste time. Let's not wait for the last moments. Let's get after it right now from this very moment.
Lasting thing is you. You are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. Let me hear you sing that. Say the only, the only.
Lasting thing is you. You are forever.
Took away my shame.
There is only one for me.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. And Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows. And Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. And Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows.
Sing your blood.
Waned in its power. That blood. is a covenant promise. The blood was shed for sickness and disease to be removed from your body, for pain to be removed from your body, for peace to be on your life, for prosperity. He became poor so that you could become rich. Whatever you have need of, that covenant blood has power right this moment. So as they sing this a few more times, I want you to apply it. Apply. You're not singing about something that's off over there. You're singing about something that is your covenant right to receive. So receive the power of the blood this morning. Today, I want you to declare. I don't want you to say anything. You can hug a neck real quickly as we go back to our seat. But I want you to declare your testimony. Your testimony, not what you feel. Because as long as you're basing it on what you feel, there's no faith at all. You're not going to receive anything changed or different. We're applying the blood and the word of God today. So as you go back to your seats, I want you to testify. What you were believing for and what God has done. Testify. testify. Go back to your seats real quickly. We want to be able to take as much time for Brother Tiff as we can. Testify. The word of their testimony. Whatever you speak is what you're speaking right into your life. So we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings, and the word of God tells us to tithe. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Matthew 23:23, Jesus red letter to his disciples, and we're disciples of Jesus. You tithe, this you ought to do. So in this house, it's not even a question. We're not trying to get out of tithing. We enter into this time with great joy because we know when we're not putting money in a plate. We are not putting money in our plate. We're putting a piece of our life in that plate that we exchanged because God has given you breath. He has given you opportunity. He has given you ability. He sustains you. God is our source. And we're telling him we know that you're our source. We're counting on you and we're depending on you, Jesus. We're taking our money out of this natural, unstable up and down, and we're putting it in the supernatural hands of a God that can bring money out of a fish's mouth if he has to. So that's the economy we walk in, and it's exciting to be able to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. So if you'll stand to your feet, we make a supernatural declaration in this house. It's the word of God. But because he says, when his word goes forth, so when we speak it out, it has to perform what it is sent to do. So that's why we shout it out loud together, is because we're sending it out. And we know, we're expecting it's going to perform. There's going to be promotions. There's going to be breakthrough, witty ideas, inventions, jobs, businesses created inside of your spirit because you sent the word forth and it will perform. So Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you'll repeat it after me, if I obey, I'm blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning.
In my basket.
Anybody excited about the Word of God this morning? Can I hear a fourth person? A fifth? A sixth? There we go. Better, better, better. Look, we can't let people outshout us for sports. I'm excited about Jesus. Anybody have God do something crazy in their life? Come on. Look, this morning, guys, I don't want to take a lot of time. We're blessed to have an amazing evangelist with us who's traveled the world, had an amazing ministry for 40-plus years, a man of integrity, a man that cares about souls, a great leader of a Bible college, and we're excited that we get to have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth here in the building with us. So can you guys put your hands together real quick for evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth as he comes to take the service?
Now come on and put your hands together for Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy to be praised. Tell three people before you're seated, live ready to meet the Lord. He's coming soon. Praise God. Just raise a hand to the Lord. I feel His presence. In the name of Jesus, who forgives our sins and heals our diseases, I release the power of God that heals. I bind every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. I thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ not only shed his blood, but upon his back 39 stripes were laid, and by those stripes we were healed. I pray for every listener. There are people that are listening who need a touch in mind. There are people that are listening that need deliverance in their mind and bodies. I release the fire of God that heals. I release the fire of God that heals. I release the fire of God that heals from the crown of every head to the sole of every foot to the tip of every finger. Father, you said in the book of Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth for those who are the heirs of salvation? Speaking of the mighty angels of the Lord, ministering spirits sent forth for those who are the heirs of salvation. I ask for mighty warring angels from heaven to be sent on divine assignment to destroy every oppression of the devil, every demonic attack. Send the angels of God to war on our behalf. Defeat and destroy and drive out. Now surround every listener with a holy hedge of divine protection. Supernatural recovery in the name of Jesus. I thank you that as children of the Most High God, because we have received Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we heal quicker. We heal supernaturally. For the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal body. We heal quicker. We heal supernaturally. You died on the cross, Jesus, for real sickness and real disease, not imagined problems. And so every disease goes and we heal quicker. We recover supernaturally. When they tell us we're going to die, we declare we shall live and not die. For you have given to every child of God who walks in the holiness of God appointed days. And your word declares our days are in the hands of the Lord. And so I speak, not one appointed day shall be stolen. Not one appointed moment shall be stolen. The enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But you came that we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. Prosheke morasala bokite. Isha mandala bosate. Krontika shika mandora basala bote makashe. Hallelujah. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Our enemies come against us one way, but they shall flee seven ways. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, even as I'm preaching your eternal and sacred word, send your word and heal them. Do the work in the will of God today. I pray, Father, that not one person who listens to me will be lost in eternity's morning. I pray that not one person who listens to me will be left behind. I pray not one backslider will stay in that position. I pray not one sinner will rebel against the call and the compassion of the Holy Spirit. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I speak salvation into the hearts of every lost soul. I pray not only for those that are in this sanctuary. I pray for the thousands of people who will listen to this in some platform in the next days and weeks. Not one lost in Jesus' name. May they feel the power of God, many for the first time. May they feel the presence of God, many of them for the first time. May it move beyond the need for an intellectual proof. And in the heart of the human spirit, may they feel the hand of God. Convince them, I need the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus, to whom alone all praise, all honor, all glory. There is none like you. There is none beside you. There is none above you. You are God all by yourself, and we give you praise. The Lord our God is one God, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And all who believe it and receive it, give the Lord praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles in church on Sunday morning, shame, shame, shame on you. It is so good to be back at His tabernacle here in Horseheads, New York. And coming here is not like going to a church to speak for me. It's like coming home to family. And I say that sincerely. The Spencers are spiritual family, and I love them. Pastor Mike is preaching at the campus in Ithaca. And remember him in your prayers this morning. And remember Pastor Chad and Jade there in South Africa. Pastor Chad is visiting in-laws, and so pray God gives him grace. Lord, I apologize for that. Ask you to forgive me. I know Jade was super, super excited, as she should be. And I'm sure the grandparents always love to see the grandbabies. I understand that as well. I'm just going to mention to you, thank you, as always, for your kindness to me. I'm just here this morning for two services, and usually in a week of meetings in our Lost Lamb outreaches on the last night, I take a few minutes to be sure I say a proper thank you. So just briefly, thank you for a nice place to lay my head. While I was here, we were in Ithaca for Sunday through Wednesday and here today on Sunday. But thank you for a nice place to stay. Thank you for a nice gift basket in my hotel room. Details are a part of the vision of this church that included a real bar of soap. I remember seeing in my gift bag an actual bar of soap. And only people who have been on the road long enough to know that God never intended you to bathe with a piece of soap an eighth of an inch thick, 1 inch by 2 inches. And not just a cheap bar of soap, the kind that has chipped up bark inside to exfoliate and scratch the living heck out of you when you take your shower. I don't know, but whoever invented that figured, you know what we can put in soap that'll make our profits greater? Tree bark. But as always, the His Tabernacle campuses are always people that are gracious and kind, and I just want to quickly say this morning that I love you and appreciate you, and if somebody hasn't told you recently, God loves you, God cares about your life. Quit being overly consumed about what's going on in the world. God's got it. He knows exactly what he's doing. And as I preach in Bible prophecy so often, the world is not falling apart, as so many preach. The world is falling into perfect prophetic place by the timing of the Lord. I mean, how much of the Bible do you have to read to understand that in the last days we're moving, the world is moving towards the stage of a coming Antichrist? But I'm thankful that the church will live in victory under the sound of the trumpet of God. But until the rapture, we're in charge, not the world. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 may fall at your side, but the church will prevail under the sound of the trumpet in Jesus' name. Come on, speak that over your life and your family and your business. We're not going to survive, we're going to thrive. We're going to flourish right under the coming of the Lord in Jesus' precious name. If you don't already follow our social media platforms, especially take advantage of the brand new YouTube channel that we just launched in the spring. And we actually took the other one down, totally deleted it and started from scratch for reasons that I'll not bore you with. But God has just done something supernaturally this year that all I can say is there's a verse in the Bible that says, "And the Lord has done this, and it is wonderful to see." And so I take no credit for it. I don't put one of my fingerprints on it because there's no way of explaining it. But supernaturally, from the second week of July until now, something internationally just happened that I cannot identify. But we've had over 6 million views. And it's not the views that matters to me other than I do believe in numbers. And, you know, every now and then you'll hear some preacher rebuke people that count numbers. You know, these ministries that are consumed with numbers, it's just numbers. Last time I checked, there's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. Numbers matter when numbers create souls. And so the thing for me with the views, it's not about the views, it's just proportionately, never in my lifetime have we seen such a harvest of souls. And the thing that's fascinating about it is even when I lay my head to the pillow at the hotel at the end of a busy day, I have currently almost 200 evangelistic messages on social media platforms that are preaching 24/7 all over the world. And people are coming into the kingdom of God, writing us. I mean, we're just counting the ones that are contacting us and saying, I prayed the sinner's prayer at the end of that video, gave my heart to Christ. I'd like that free follow-up material that you spoke of, and so on, and the testimonies that come in. Recently, a professor in London, who was a self-proclaimed atheist since he was a college student, gave his heart to Jesus Christ. It's just been in the Muslim world, in the Islamic states, we've seen over 78,000 Muslims in the Islamic states that have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ that we know of. And it's just been fascinating. While I was here this week, we had an Instagram video that some Hollywood celebrity posted it. And within 24 hours, I think it's somewhere around 130,000 views. And going to bed last night and just scrolling through, I think approaching somewhere over 300 responses and inquiries of people all over the world. And what a day and age. Who'd have ever thought when I started? I remember the other month sitting at my desk at the ministry office and trying to calculate how long did it take me to actually speak to 1 million people. And I calculated conservatively to the best of my ability to document that it took me almost 35 years of full-time ministry. I averaged 200 to 300 times of speaking every year for the last 42 years in 56 countries of the world. It took me running the world as fast as I knew how to run and still keep a family and life together over 35 years before I was ever even able to speak to 1 million people. And since July, we've preached over 6 million. It's just the hand of God, and I'm excited about it. And I'm just going to say, there's so much I wish I could share, because you are family, and I know this church genuinely prays for us, and Pastor Mike and Rhonda and the rest of the family. But all I can say this morning is, will you pray for Lost Lamb, because we're really needing to make some big decisions, and we are and will. But I just hired somebody after July because of this, and it wasn't enough. My wife, I didn't even have time to be home for the interview, and it needs to be done so quickly. Marianne on my board of trustees and my wife Judy, they said, we've got an interview scheduled when you get home from your trip to New York. I said, I don't have time. I trust both of you. Interview and get them hired. Get it going. We don't have time to wait till I get home anymore. Let's just get some stuff done and trust God, and you can always fire him if it doesn't work out. But anyway, pray. Just pray that the Lord will help us, because the main thing for me that burdens my heart is following up on all of these decisions for Christ, because we're trying desperately to follow up on every single one. Our discipleship postage last month was over $8,000, just mailing stuff to new converts around the world. And but there are better ways of doing that as well. So I'm just going to stop there, because it churns in my heart almost every time I lay down. It's the last thing that goes through my head and the last thing I'm talking to God about. But I'm one of those old school preachers that believes in prayer. And so we're asking, when we get to churches that we've been with for years, thank you for praying for Lost Lamb. We're getting ready to build a brand new TV set and studio, and I'll talk more about that next time we see you, because I think if the Lord tarries, it'll be done and we can play some video of it. If you didn't come prepared to give this morning, will you pray about stopping by our table, picking up an envelope, and between now and the first of the year, will you pray about sowing a seed into the new studio? It's going to be about 80 to 100,000 to get that completed, and I thank God in advance for getting it done. Matthew 13, if you have your Bible. How many are glad to be in God's house? I want to speak to you today on four ways people respond to the gospel. And Tina, in my office, if you're editing, start the edit right here, please. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of four ways that people respond to the gospel. Because in Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter, Jesus Christ actually through parable did something he had never done before.
But he carefully articulated that almost all people who will ever hear the gospel will respond in one of four ways. And the purpose of our time together is not just to reveal to you this supernatural equation of Christ as to how people respond to the gospel, but what I've prayed will take place is that as you're listening, you'll be wise enough to examine your own heart, because all of you that are listening to me have responded in one of four ways. But when the rapture takes place and Christ returns, only one of the four will be ready. So it's vitally important that you understand this, not only within the historic context of Christ teaching in a parable, but that you apply this to your heart and ask yourself sincerely, which of the four am I? And will I be ready to meet the Lord? How many know that this world is moving in a direction that will soon result in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by sound of trumpet being taken? And those that are left behind are in for 7 years of tribulation. I'm reading out of Matthew 13, beginning to read at verse 1. I like to read in context and not just in text, so let me read down through verse 13. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. If someone next to you does not have a Bible, if you'd be kind enough to share. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. How many have ears this morning? Say amen. Amen. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they really don't see. And they hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Let's pray. Father, we never open up the Holy Bible without an awareness of our total dependence upon you. We thank you that the Word of God is life. It's more than a book. It's more than history or literature or wisdom. It is the living word of the living God. And I pray this morning that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you will quicken my mind, body, and spirit, and let my words be your words. I pray that you would give the ability for people as Jesus spoke to listen and to understand. And I pray that it would be life-changing. I pray that for many it will secure their eternal address. And in the moments to come when the invitation is given to turn from sin and turn to Christ,
I pray that you'll give people the humility and the faith and the courage to do what they ought to do in this moment. And I thank you, Father, that by the Holy Spirit, there is a freedom of God in this place that no work of the enemy can even prevail. Let the word of God and the work of God be completed for your honor and glory. And all God's people said a big amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13 in the gospel, we find Jesus continuing in his ministry to ever-growing crowds. He's at a phase in his ministry where they're beginning to become a lot of followers on all of his channels. But on this particular day, Jesus did something he had never done before. And what he did here for the very first time was he used a methodology of teaching translated into our English Bible as parables. But it's important you understand what a parable is. The word parable comes from two Greek words. The first is para, and the second is balo. But it literally means to throw alongside. Para, balo, parable, to throw alongside. A parable, like an illustration, makes a comparison between a known truth and an unknown truth. And through parables, Jesus took a known truth and an unknown truth and threw them alongside one another. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Sadly, through the years, I've heard many in Christian ministry talk about Jesus using parables as a technology in teaching to make the gospel more real to the listener to whom he was speaking. Which is absolutely not true. Jesus said why he used parables. It was not to make the story clearer. It was not a teaching technology to help clarify and make simple what he was saying. It was actually just the opposite. He said in Matthew 13, look at verse 10. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets to the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." Highlight verse 12 in your Bible. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. Pause right there. When you take time to listen to the teaching of Christ, and you systematically in your life discipline yourself to be someone who not only claims to be a Christian, but to continue in his word all the days of your life, Jesus said, even more understanding will be given and an abundance of knowledge will be yours. Let me help those of you who are either not saved or those of you who are newly saved. When you become a born-again Christian, from that day forward, your IQ, both in the realm of intellect and in the realm of spirituality, will increase all the days of your life. James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God, by the Holy Spirit, has the ability to distribute wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The world oftentimes has intellectual knowledge, but God will not just give you intellectual knowledge. He'll wrap it like a threefold cord with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And the world can't offer that. No university can offer that. No professor can offer that. No textbook can offer that. But when you turn from sin and turn to Christ, God by the Holy Spirit and through his eternal word will begin to gird your life with ever increasing wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If you receive it, give the Lord a shout of praise. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Jesus, don't miss this, Jesus did not use parables to help people understand. Rather, the parables provided a spiritual test to see whether or not people were willing to grasp the knowledge of God sincerely. Parables are a test to see who really wants to know God and understand God and receive His instruction. But the average carnal reaction is people don't want that. The average carnal reaction is I'm the boss. The average carnal reaction is nobody tells me what to do. The average carnal reaction is no preacher's going to tell me how to live. No book's going to tell me how to live. I'm in charge. My life, my decision, my choice. Well, the problem with that is you can make that decision, but the Bible said that road leads to eternal judgment, wrath, and hell. If you're going to walk in the ways of God, you've got to invite Him into your canoe and hand Him a paddle. Let Him be your spiritual GPS in life, because He knows what He's doing. And I don't know if anybody's told you recently, but you don't. Even when you do the best that you can, it's guesswork. Because you don't know what's coming tomorrow, but He does. You don't know what's going to happen in this nation in the next month or two, but He does. You don't know what's going to happen in this world in the coming days, but He does. And when you surrender your life to Christ and make Him Lord and Savior, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that He provides to you will change the trajectory of your life and keep you on a secure path. Jesus spoke in parables for three reasons. If you're taking notes, don't miss this. Jesus spoke in parables for three reasons. Number one, He was communicating in parables in order to continue to reveal truth to His disciples. He said in Matthew 13, 11, and 12, the Lord said He was making known to the disciples the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. He was even using parables as a way of purifying the motives of His own disciples. Secondly, Jesus spoke in parables to hide the truth from unbelievers. Not to reveal truth to unbelievers. He gave parables to hide truth from unbelievers. Those who had hearts, there was no room for God and lived in open rebellion to God, they were not deemed worthy to receive spiritual truth. Don't miss what I'm about to say. In order to receive from God, you must first come to the table with a spirit of humility. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. God has no responsibility to deal in your life until you show an appetite and an honor for spiritual truth. Thank you for all those amens. That's why they take the offering first. And a lot of people have never been taught that. They just assume that God's wandering around, picking everybody up and patting them on the back like a baby trying to get burped and coddling them and being sweet with them. It doesn't work that way with God. The things of God are hidden from you until you show honor and humility and faith. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Until you show God's spiritual appetite, you're not even invited to the table. I still love you. Number three, He spoke in parables in order to fulfill Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. As Isaiah began his ministry, God told him that people would not comprehend his message. Jesus experienced the exact same thing in his ministry, so he preached the word of God, and many saw it, but they did not truly perceive it. They heard it, but Jesus said they did not understand it. So this is the first time,
If you're a student of the Bible, what I'm sharing with you today out of Matthew 13, it's the first time that Jesus moved into the spiritual teaching dimension of using parables. And if you've been paying attention, now you know why. Let me close by explaining to you the four soils and the purpose of the seed. And as we walk through this, I want you to remember you're one of the four. Every one of you listening to me in the remaining moments of our time together are about to learn you're one of the four that Jesus spoke of. I not only have asked the Lord to help me to communicate this in a way that even children can understand the four types of soil, what I've really prayed is that before you leave today, God will help you in humility to be able to say, that one is me, and make adjustments. So if you're taking notes again, the soil represents the human heart. What does the soil represent in this parable? The soil represents the human heart. What does the heart represent in the Bible? We obviously understand the natural definition of the heart. It's a vital organ. It's a muscle. It pumps blood throughout the body, etc. But did you know that the Bible mentions the human heart almost 1,000 times? 66 books in your Bible, Old and New Testament, the human heart from a spiritual perspective is mentioned almost 1,000 times. In the world of theology, we call this the law of proportion. What is the law of proportion? When you study the entirety of the Bible and you see something that is repeated and replicated over and over and over, such as this, almost 1,000 times, that is the law of proportion. It is God's way of revealing to the students of His Word that something is incredibly important and you need to be ears open, eyes open, and spirit open, and saying, Lord, I need to receive this. Because the human heart in its natural spiritual condition is desperately wicked. The prophet Jeremiah said in the 17th chapter, verses 9 and 10, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. Today you may not have come into His house thinking this way, but pause for a moment and readjust your compass and think this way. As you are sitting under the preaching of God's holy word, the Lord is searching your heart and examining your motives. The prophet Jeremiah went on to say, I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So the soil that the seed fell upon represents four categories of the human heart. The hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, and the fruitful heart. I see many of you writing, let me give it to you again. The soil in the parable and the seed that Jesus used for the very first time administering the teaching technique of parables represents the human heart and the four categories. Number one, the hard heart. Number two, the shallow heart. Number three, the crowded heart. And number four, the fruitful heart. What does the seed represent? The seed represents the gospel of the kingdom, or the good news of the gospel. The real difference in these four results was not the condition and the health and the validity of the seed. The real examination fell upon the condition of the soil that received the seed. Because this seed is always healthy. This seed is always fertile. This seed is always ready for replication. This seed always produces miracles. This seed always produces fruit. This seed always produces the will of God. This seed always takes you from where you're at and puts you where God wanted you to belong. Hallelujah! What is the gospel? Because, you know, we who preach the gospel oftentimes take it for granted that people know the gospel. But I have done surveys in my travels with ministers through the years and just asked the simple question, hey, by the way, what's the gospel? Tell me, what do you think the gospel is? And then it's amazing how people shuffle around, and many times they do somewhat well. But if you're a new Christian, I want you to know exactly what the gospel is, because the Bible tells us exactly what the gospel is. And so if you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 15 and let me show you the Bible defining the gospel. How many of you know the Bible's definition is the best? 1 Corinthians 15, beginning to read at verse 1, reading down through verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. And then in verses 3 and 4, we have the biblical definition of the gospel. If you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, highlight verses 3 and 4. This is the gospel. If anyone ever asks you, say, the gospel is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Let me read it to you. It says, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Here it is. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That's the gospel. A lot of people try to complicate it. A lot of people try to oversimplify it. That is the purity of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again. That's the gospel. Everything hinges around that truth. Christ and Christ alone. Let me close by giving to you the four responses in the parable. If you're taking notes, number one, the seed that fell on the footpath. The seed that fell on the footpath. There in Matthew 13 and 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. There's the biblical response to the seed that fell on the footpath. The hard ground by the wayside or a pathway prevents the seed from sprouting at all. And the seed becomes nothing more than bird food. Because that seed on the footpath is constantly being trampled upon by secular feet. And because that seed is overwhelmed not by spiritual fertilization, but by carnal trampling, your life is surrounded by too many carnal feet. And because what you believe upon is being trampled on the pathway of hard soil, it will never sprout and it simply becomes bird seed. This represents people who hear the word of God but don't really believe it. The hard soil represents someone who is hardened by sin. There's so much carnality and so many people with carnal feet trampling in their life, trampling in their mind, trampling in their emotions, trampling in their pleasure base, trampling in their intellect, trampling upon what little faith is left. He or she hears the word of God, but Satan plucks the message away and keeps it from their dull heart, and they are prevented from the word of God having any impression whatsoever. Every time you hear the word of God speak to you through the gospel and you reject it, the human heart becomes harder and harder until Romans 1 defines that God gave them up to reprobate minds. Number two, the seed that fell on rocky soil. Matthew 13:20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So the rocky soil or the stony ground provides enough soil for the seeds to germinate and begin to grow, but because there is no deepness of commitment and consecration in their earth, the plants don't take root and are soon withered by the sun. The seed on rocky soil speaks of a person who hears the word and starts well, but their consecration isn't there. They believe right, but they don't walk right. They believe right, but they don't discipline right. They believe right, but they won't study right. They believe right, but they won't get rid of stuff. And the Bible says that the rocky soil speaks of a person who hears the word but soon falls away. From the original Greek, it could be equally, and some would say more accurately, rendered, they are offended by it. They believe it, but when they begin to learn of the commitment that is resulted in it, they're offended by it. You want me to do what? 10% of my what? Go to church, what? Clean up my what? Break off my what? They believe it and they receive it. But as soon as they begin to discern and learn the consecration and the commitment that's required to keep it, they're offended by it. Because they want their cake and eat it too. The stony ground pictures a person who professes delight with the word, but their heart has never changed. And so when trouble and persecution arises, they fall away. And the Bible said in the last days there will be a great falling away from faith. Jesus said, when I return to earth, will I even find faith? Many will say in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do religious things in your name? But he will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen to me, all of you so-called phony preachers on social media. You can hang a banner behind your head and buy some LED lights. Just because you figured out how to go live doesn't mean you should have. We got people today preaching and prophesying and speculating, and God's not in it. And one day they're going to stand in judgment waiting for God to commend them on how many followers they had. And God's going to say, I never authorized you to do that. Depart from me, you phony worker of iniquity. I never knew you, and now you're going to learn the lesson of people that lay their fingerprints upon my word that were never called. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Number three, the seed that fell among thorns.
defined in the 22nd verse of Matthew 13. The seed that fell among thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The thorny ground also allows the seed to grow, but it's the competition of thorns that choke out the life of beneficial plants. There's only two kinds of people in your life. People who are fertilizing your life and people who are thorns. And if you're a discerning believer, you'll examine your sphere of fellowship. If you're a believer who's going to rise higher and catch fire, you're going to do some purging in your social life. And you're going to identify everybody that has fellowship in your life through the lens of, are they fertilizing my faith? Whereas every time I'm around them, do I feel like I've been walking through a thorn patch? And if you're hanging around people all the time and it's just like walking through a thorn patch, it's time to clean up. People are either charging your battery or they're draining your battery. And you'd better figure out who's charging your battery and consecrate your life to that. And people that are draining your battery, you need to be gracious and Christ-like, but you need to discipline your time management. Because if they'll show up unannounced and waste your time, you know they're wasting their time. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23, and when Jesus had added, he said, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, there it is again, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. Lastly, number four, the seed that fell on good soil. And we see that in the 23rd verse of the text of Matthew 13. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produces a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. The good soil represents the believer who hears, understands, makes a decision to receive, and then guards what they've received. And when you do that, the Bible says it will accomplish the result for which it was sent to produce. Because everything God touches multiplies. Everything God anoints grows. Everything God anoints grows. Everything God's touched increases. The trajectory of your life will be forward and upward all the days of your life when you understand that principle. Somebody needs this encouragement. Somebody needs this encouragement. Forget about where you came from. Forget about your past. You can't change that. The Bible said when God forgave you, your past was not only forgiven, it was forgotten. It was buried in the sea of His forgetfulness, never again to be recalled. So forget about your past. Quit talking about your past. Quit sharing your past. Quit feeling guilt about your past. Quit beating yourself up about your past. Your past is forgiven and forgotten the day you repented of sin and came to Jesus Christ. If any man or woman comes to Christ, they become a brand new person. Old things pass away and all things become new. Hallelujah! All things become new. Make up your mind that your mouth is not going to talk about your past. Start saying, I thank you, Father, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because I've repented of sin and received Him as my Lord and Savior, The grace of God now puts my feet upon a holy path. The grace of God now puts my feet upon a productive path. I thank you, Father, that every son and every daughter you've adopted, you put your robe upon them. You put your ring upon their finger. You kill the fatted calf. The days of rejoicing and blessing and being productive for eternal causes is now mine. And all the days of my life, I'm moving forward and I'm moving upward in Jesus' name. Let the devil know you're not waiting in the pool of bitterness and sorrow and guilt anymore. Get out of that pool, dry off, and leave the club and never return. The good ground portrays the one who hears, understands, receives the word, and allows the word to produce what it was sent to accomplish. Only the seed that fell on good soil had the abiding result of production. And a crop that increased 30, 60, and 100-fold. You serve a God who does exceedingly above all you are able to ask or to think. You serve a God who does exceedingly above all you are able to ask or think. You can sit down in the wise counsel of godly people and make a plan. But when you make your best plan, God is still the God who's going to do exceedingly above all you are able to ask or think. I came to tell you, make plans for God so big in the last days that it forces you to get on your knees every morning and laugh and say, God, only you can make this happen. For with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are impossible. Your plans for God should be impossible. Your dreams for God should be impossible. What you desire to do for God should be impossible. Because if you can figure it out, or a board can figure it out, it's not big enough. Say, God, show me the next step. And may it be so large that every morning it forces me to drop to my knees and find God's will and God's way for getting it done. If you believe and receive it, give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Now don't miss this. The person represented by the good ground is the only seed and soil combination that represents the truly saved. That might be hard, but hear what I said. Because it's not my interpretation. Jesus taught it. The only seed and soil combination, the fourth, 3 out of 4 aren't even saved. Number 4 represents those by the examination of the parable of Jesus, are proved to be those who are truly His. Because salvation's proof is fruit. Salvation's proof is fruit. John 15:16, ye did not call me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and produce fruit. And that your fruit should remain. To summarize the point of the parable of the sower, the word of God cannot work in our lives unless we have humble, willing, receptive hearts. A person's reception of God's word is always determined by the condition of the heart. Someone who is truly saved will always live a life that proves it. Tweet the fire out of that. Because we need a world that understands that salvation has a cost. We don't preach, nor do we believe, nor does the Bible support cheap grace. Someone who is truly saved will go on to prove it by the fruit that they produce.
Doesn't matter how sincere you are. There'll be a lot of sincere people in hell. Sincerity has nothing to do with reality. Too many preachers and cheap grace put an emphasis upon sincerity. Sincerity has nothing to do with reality. The reality is God said, Jesus said, the apostles said, the New Testament covenant said, if you're really saved, there'll be fruit. There'll be fruit, not rotten fruit, fruit that remains. God didn't call you to be an island and to sit in your little club of one. He created you to multiply 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. When's the last time you prayed and said, Father, because my hand is in your hand, let everything my hand touches produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Because you're coming soon and the time is short, Father, stretch my faith to believe that everything you have called me to do will produce fruit that remains. And the fruit is always connected to the root, and the root is the health of the human heart. And if your heart is not holy, you'll never produce lasting fruit. Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. The greatest key to promotion and productivity is a holy life. A lot of people preach on prosperity, and I believe in prosperity. But I can tell you right now, sowing $1,000 into a ministry that said, if you sow $1,000, God spoke to my heart that everybody who does that, they're liars. Most of them will be in hell. Because you can't tell an audience that you can't see, you don't know. You don't know how they're living. You don't know how they're living. Only God knows their heart. Anybody that tells you that if you sow a seed of X amount of dollars, God said he's going to prosper you in the next 3 months, they're going to hell. Because the Bible says in Revelation, and all liars shall have their place in hell. We've got too many people that are comfortable with saying frivolous things and spitting out cute little verses about breakthroughs and shifts and changes coming. And everybody reading my tweet, God said, liar. You don't know how they're living. Because if they're still shacked up in sin, they're not going to prosper. If they don't attend a Bible-believing church with a godly pastor and understand the sacredness of the holy church in the last days, they're not going to prosper. They're not even reading their Bible every day. They're not even praying every day. They're not even current with their obligations to God. The Word of God will speak to you personally. And in this parable, Jesus put four targets on human hearts. Which one are you? Because only one is really saved. And only one produces fruit. Let me give you the greatest message on prosperity and blessing and favor you'll ever hear in your life in less than 30 seconds. No good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. If you want to prosper, you better live holy. Get on your knees every morning and say, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive me of my trespasses. Make sure your hands are clean. Make sure your heart's clean. Make sure your motives are pure. That's the greatest key to prosperity you will ever hear in your life. And rarely do you hear it preached. Holiness is the master key to being ready to meet the Lord and everything in the kingdom of God. Anybody that says anything different doesn't know their Bible. You don't tell people what they want to hear. If you love people, you tell them what the Bible says. And that's the seed. It's not all of the cute packaging on social media. I can pretty much tell you, everybody that's prophesying about America and elections and Biden and Trump and politics, they're all false prophets. That's how you know a false prophet. Prophecy has nothing to do with American politics. Nothing. Final Bible prophecy is about Israel and the Jews and the eternal covenant of God and His soon coming. And America is not even found in the final pages of Bible prophecy. We got a lot of people suckered in. Get back to the simplicity of the seed and the soil. And if you'll do that in the last days, you'll not only survive, you'll 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold thrive and flourish. Not because I said it, but because Jesus Christ Himself said it. If you believe and receive the Word of God, even though it's hard, give God a mighty hand of praise. Stand to your feet with me, please, across the sanctuary as much as possible. Hold steady. What we're about to do is the most important thing we've done all morning. Whoever you are, whoever's listening, either in this sanctuary or watching through various means of social media, and I'm trying to reprogram my mind to realize that in the next handful of days, that thousands of people around the world that I've never met are going to stumble across this and listen to it. It's averaging currently about 238,000 people a month is what we know of. And I'm trying to reprogram my mind to not only speak to the audience that I see with my natural eyes, pray that God will give me eyes of faith to see all of the rest. But all of you, both those you hear and those that are listening, wherever you're listening around the world, don't miss what I'm about to say. If you didn't understand anything I said this morning, don't miss this. There is nothing more important in all of the world than being ready to meet the Lord. And He's coming soon. And the Bible said those who truly believe will be taken. And all three of the other soils and seeds are going to be left behind. God wants you to be ready. I want you to be ready. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be ready. Preacher, what do I have to do to be ready? Three things. If you're not right with God, three things you must do to live ready to meet the Lord. Number one, you must recognize you're a sinner. You have to do that. You have to openly, and it takes humility to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've violated your holiness. I know I've broken commandments. The Ten Commandments are not pick your favorite five. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Number one, you have to recognize you're a sinner. Number two, you have to repent of sin. Jesus said in Luke 13, unless we repent, we shall perish. Repent is a word we don't use much in the 21st century. It simply means make a U-turn. You're headed in the wrong direction. Recognize you're a sinner and make a U-turn. Those of you that are going to pray with me at this altar before we're dismissed, by coming to this altar, it's your way of showing God, I'm making a U-turn. By intellect, will, and faith, I make a choice this morning to come to an altar so that I'm showing God I'm turning my back on sin and carnality and all of the wrong paths and soils and peoples, and I'm going to receive and live for Jesus Christ. Number one, recognize you're a sinner. Number two, repent of your sin. Number three, you have to receive Jesus Christ by faith. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way you can have right relationship with God is you have to put your faith in the gospel. You have to put your faith in the cross. You have to trust that Jesus, God's only Son, when He died on the cross and shed His blood, He did it for sinners like you and I. There was a time in my life when I personally and publicly repented of sin and made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And He changed my life and my destiny. And He'll do the same for you. Amen.
If you've never personally and publicly recognized your sin, repented of your sin, received Christ, I want you to pray with me this morning before you leave this service. Those of you that are watching, you can pray with us in just a moment. Why do I ask you to do it personally and publicly? Because everybody Jesus called in the New Testament, he called personally and publicly. By coming to this altar, and it'll take faith and courage and humility. I've said that all morning long. But by coming to this altar, you're saying to God, I want to be a real Christian. By coming to this altar, you're saying, I want to be the right seed and soil combination. By coming to this altar, you're saying, Lord, I recognize that I was in one of the other three, but I want to switch gardens. Today, I switch gardens. Make new soil, make a new heart. By coming to this altar, you're saying, I want to be ready to meet the Lord when he comes. Some of you that will pray with me, it'll be the very first time you've come and done it publicly and personally. There might be some that are away from God, and I'm not condemning you. I love you. I'm here for you just as the Lord is. But if you're not living in victory over sin, but sin is living in victory over you, come home. Hosea the prophet in the Old Testament, 14th chapter, 4th verse, he said, I will love you freely and I will heal your backsliding. God will heal your backsliding. Come home. Quit making excuses. Quit blaming people. Quit being the victim. Just come home. Nobody's worth going to hell over. Come home. And I'm going to pray for you right here. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kneel here. I'm going to pray that God will give you the faith and the courage and the humility to make your commitment. They're going to lead in a song of invitation. And as they lead in that song of invitation, those of you that have the courage, you be the very first ones to come. Your courage will help somebody else. Christian, if you have someone with you that you've invited, or a family member or a neighbor or a coworker, just turn to them, not forcefully, just turn to them and say, I'll walk with you. And we're going to pray that prayer of salvation right here, right now. You come if God's been speaking to your heart before we're dismissed.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
If God's speaking, come on. Today's your day. Come on. Those of you that are at this altar, we're going to pray right now. Those of you that are watching online, you can pray with us as well. If you're watching this from any platform, when you're done praying, please go to lostlamb.org, L-O-S-T-L-A-M-B, one word, .org. Click on I Just Got Saved, and please let me know. I read all of those personally for now. And we promise we'll get right back to you and help you with some materials that'll be a blessing to you. All of you that are at this altar and those online, pray this with me by faith. Say, Heavenly Father, today as I was listening to the Bible, you were speaking to me. Down deep in my heart, I want to be a real Christian. Today in childlike faith, I recognize my sin. and I'm willing to repent, to turn my back on sin and turn my heart to Jesus Christ. Today in Jesus' name, I receive Christ who died, was buried, rose again, and is coming soon. I trust in the cross and in His precious blood. Cleanse my mind, my body and spirit. Keep me ready for Your soon coming. I receive salvation as God's gift right now, and I vow in my heart I will live for You all the days of my life. In place of my weakness, fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me Your power. In Jesus' name, today I'm saved, I'm delivered, I'm healed, I'm set free. I am a child of God, and I'll never be the same. For the miracle of salvation today is mine. Thank You, Jesus. Amen and amen.
If we could have all of you right here. Oh, they're going to stay right here. They're going to come to you and get Bibles and your information so that we can follow up with you. This isn't a one-time thing. We're ready to take it all the way to the end with you. If you are still here, go ahead and be seated right now. We are never going to allow the Word of God and the man of God to come into this house without sowing seed. And I cannot think of better ground in these end days. We are in the end times. These end days, than the salvation message that Brother Tiff carries. Every single one of his services all over the world that he does are focused on salvation. End time prophecy that leads to salvation. All of his YouTube stuff, this stuff that's gone viral and that has happened by the Lord's hand. 6 million people reached. I mean, you might not go out. I pray that you would and lead people to the Lord. You might not be able to do that. You might not have enough boldness to do that. Let's sow into someone that's boldly going into the world and saving souls and salvation. Pastor and I, we've already determined our seed and our sowing today, and this is good ground. Good. Have you ever had a service where somebody didn't actually get saved? Did you preach and people didn't get saved? Really? I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I've never seen it. I've never seen it. So prepare your seed. And before we leave, we're going to bring our seed. We're going to sow it into the ground with expectation that God is going to bring increase and abundance into our lives, and that God is going to bless this ministry. Let's be the ones. Let's be the church that build this studio. You'll be able to, that's crowns. Man, that is crowns for you in heaven when you sow seed and send the man of God. Let's his tabernacle be the ones that reach the next 6 million. Can you imagine? I mean, he spent 35 years reaching 1 million. And now in the day and age that we're in, able to reach 6 million in not even a half a year. This is phenomenal. So prepare your seed, get ready to sow and give, and stand to your feet. We're going to pray, and you can bring your seed forward and have an awesome, phenomenal, victorious week this week. Father, we just love You so much. Thank You for Your word that we know has gotten inside. And God, I pray that Your word has shifted and aligned some stuff in everybody's heart. I don't care if they've been in church for 40 years, God. Your word being enlightened in our heart, uncover areas that are stony. Uncover areas that are thorny. Uncover areas that are the beaten path. God, uncover areas. Let Your word get in and transform and change us and make us holy and new. We just thank You for Your powerful word today. Thank thank you for healing us, Lord, today. Thank you for your covenant package that is ours for blessing and prosperity. We love you so much, God. In your precious, precious name, amen, amen. Go ahead and bring your seed. There are buckets up front for your seed offering. Have a phenomenal week. For those of you that gave your hearts to the Lord, we just celebrate you. That was the best decision. Your life is just going to get better and better and better in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you.